The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Ireland will drastically miss targets for reducing greenhouse gas emissions even under current best-case scenario projections. That's according to a report by the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, I'm joined on the line by Sive O'Neill, Senior Climate Advisor to Friends of the Earth. Sive, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You've looked at this reporting of the EPA report. What's it saying? Where are we falling down?
Well, the EPA's latest emission projections that they published today for 2050 are quite alarming and very disappointing. Their modelling shows that even if the government implements its already agreed climate policies, we're only going to see a reduction of 29% instead of the 51% that was agreed in the climate law. And it also suggests that we will miss the EU targets for 2030, which is measured in a slightly different way, the emissions coming from the non-emissions trading sector. That target for 42% is likely to be missed as well.
First of all, the financial implications if we miss targets. I mean, the first target of 51%, is that our own target? And therefore, if we miss it, we miss it. No cost problem. If it's an EU target and we miss it, do we pay?
We definitely pay if we miss the EU targets. We either have to purchase flexibilities or we have to purchase renewable credits from other countries that over exceed their targets. And estimates from the Department of Public Enterprise put that at between 3 and 8 billion. So it's an enormous cost. And when you factor in the economic benefits of actually making this transition happen faster, it represents a huge economic burden on society not to decarbonize the energy system as fast as possible.
Now, what are the huge benefits that would accrue to us?
Well, first of all, I think we need to look at why we're not seeing more progress with the existing measures. Our perception is that we are still looking at rather ineffectual policies or policies that are driving emissions up instead of down. So, for example, we still have a problem with more data centres being brought onto the system that's driving up gas demand. And even though we're adding renewable electricity onto the grid all the time, that's being eaten up by all this extra demand from large energy users. And the other thing the EPA have said is that the policies that they measure for their impact in terms of reaching the target need to be spelled out in detail. But some of the government's flagship announcements aren't actually backed with detailed plans. So, for example, there's an industry target of getting to 70 or 75% renewable heat. Most of the heat in the industry sector is coming from gas, basically. But this isn't actually backed with an implementation pathway, says the EPA. So they couldn't include that. And furthermore, the same thing applies to a measure to diversify agriculture. So the government is making announcements. It's saying we're going to achieve the targets by doing this, by doing that. But it's not providing the detailed policy.
And the EPA, does it then discount those entirely because it doesn't have the detail, saying,
well, exactly,
you know, it's just talk as far as the EPA is concerned. Show us the detail and we'll do the sum.
Yeah, the EPA is the body that's charged with actually making sure that we're measuring and tracking emissions and that we're reaching our targets. So they have a very specific methodology that they apply to try to work out if the current policies are getting us to where we need to be. And just back to your other question, Pat, we do have an incredible opportunity in this moment to make the energy transition work for everyone. And if we don't take that opportunity, we are going to stay reliant on dirty fossil energy. And interestingly, about 19% of Europe's gas still coming from Russia. This makes its way in the energy system overall to Ireland, not directly, but through our prices. So we're still very exposed to insecure energy and the energy security issues that come from the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Now, there are a few what might be termed easy wins. If we were to insulate every house, the demand for energy would just plummet. And that would be an easy win because we know what to do. We know how to do it. It could be unsightly in some cases, but in most cases it can be done without damaging the environment, the visual environment, shall we say, on streets and so on. Solar panel on roofs, some people don't like the look of it, but it's an easy win. It's also a relatively inexpensive win, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And in fact, when you look at what's been achieved in the solar sector, it's quite astounding. In 1 year alone, the amount of solar energy coming from rooftop solar and also some utility projects, some solar farms, increased the solar capacity by over 200% in 1 year. So there's about 1 gigawatt of solar installed at the moment. And this is cloudy old Ireland. We don't feel like we get much sunshine, but it just shows you how effective the technology is. And they estimate, the industry estimates, that they can actually deliver 8 gigawatts of solar PV by 2030. And they specifically point to things that the government has done to make it easier. They've removed the planning barriers on rooftop solar, they removed VAT, and this has sparked a wave of demand. So it just shows that government intervention to make renewables easy and affordable works. People will go for it. Now, when it comes to wind, it's a little bit more complicated because these projects do require environmental assessment and planning. But the reality is that a lot of onshore and possibly in the future, offshore wind energy projects will get held up in the planning system because it's not resourced adequately, purely not resourced adequately. So decisions are taking too long to come from Bord Pleanála. And anything we do to accelerate the delivery of that incredible pipeline of renewable projects, both onshore wind, offshore wind, solar PV and utility solar, will help us get to our target and give us clean electricity that we can then use to decarbonize our heating and transport. But if I might say something about the heating side, particularly, yeah, Pat, because I agree with you, these are things that, you know, the idea of warmer homes is obviously makes complete sense to everybody. But the reality is that we are really off track when it comes to those targets. The government has a target of 400,000 heat pumps by 2030. But last year, there was only about 6,000 installed. So we're way off target. And the government knows that.
There is
that
a problem, though, Sive. It's great to say heat pumps. And, you know, the people who sell them say this is the great miracle. You get basically getting energy for nothing. Well, you don't. You've got to run the pump. And there are people who complain about their electricity bills going through the roof. Partly because, yes, the heat pumps are not properly installed or not maybe properly designed for the particular situation, and partly because they're not adjusted and kept an eye on, because your heat pump can run away with itself.
I think there are a number of problems with the heat pump that users are finding. But the biggest problem of all is the upfront cost of installing them and the hassle for householders in, you know, making the retrofits to their buildings so that the building is more energy efficient to begin with, more insulated. So the government needs to be able to address that by providing clear information, by providing low-cost finance, and by targeting the worst-performing houses. And these are mostly in the rental sector and in local authority housing. The reality is that the local authority upgrades are really very piecemeal and happening far too slowly when these are the most vulnerable houses, households to energy poverty. And in the rental sector, the government is so nervous about driving up the cost of rental accommodation. They're not putting enough pressure on landlords to upgrade the quality of rental housing, which is the worst performing housing. So all of our energy poverty problems and energy security problems can be addressed with good policies that address the worst performing houses, that address energy poverty, and just make it easier for people to access the finance and information, because heat pumps are a game changer. Okay. Other European countries have embraced them and don't have any problems. It's just that we haven't quite gotten our act together here in Ireland.
They're not suitable for every application. I mean, there are some heat pumps that do air to water, which then allows maybe your old rads, they'll have to be replaced with high output rads to work. You know, it's not a simple thing of install a heat pump in the back garden and off you go. And then the installer will say, well, Mrs., it'd be better if you had underfloor heating. What do you mean? Take up my kitchen floor, take up my living room floor. You know, it's not that simple. It isn't as plugging in a heat pump. It simply is not.
Yeah, I take your point. My understanding, I'm actually in the process of doing a retrofit, so I'm grappling with all these challenges myself. The reality is that the technology is improving all the time, and the latest heat pumps can actually work, I understand, by plugging into your existing radiator system.
Maybe not your existing one, into a radiator system, but you may have to replace every rad.
Yeah, there's no question about it. It's not a straightforward thing. As you say, you don't just usually plug it into your existing system, and you do get much better value for your money if you have a well-insulated home. Yeah. And many Irish homes are just not well-insulated. Yeah. So that's the first thing to do. And it is a disruptive intervention.
Well, I tell you what we'll do, Sive. We'll on a Monday, we have an expert in. We'll get a heat pump expert in with us one day and explain all this, because as I hear. I've mixed reports. I know some people who have them and swear by them say their energy bills have really dropped, and then other people saying, no, it ran away with me and I can't believe the electricity bill I have.
It is a challenging time. We are making a lot of changes to our energy system and we need to hold the hands of householders along the way. I totally agree. We need to give people clear information. We need to have, you know, regulated industry. And most importantly, we need to have the price signals working properly so that people do avail of smart meters and do avail of tariffs that work for them. And at the moment, I don't think the CRU is doing that effectively.
Yeah, all right. We'll be talking about electric cars later on because transport is a bit intractable. We've seen the sales of EVs drop a bit in the first quarter, largely because of concerns about the second-hand market, and that will sort itself out in time when the price drops have stopped in competition with the Chinese makes. But buying an electric car, it's not like buying, you know, kicking a few tires and buying a car. You've got to think about what you're doing, and we'll be dealing with that later on in the program. Sive, yeah? Transport being quite intractable at the moment.
Absolutely. Apologies. I didn't realise you were asking that as a question. I completely agree. It's a very, very challenging area. So we've seen transport emissions rise. This is closely correlated with economic growth and high employment rates. So the more people at work, it's very, you know, unusual for people to be able to just walk around the corner to their jobs. And even home working hasn't relieved the pressure on our roads. The reality is that we need huge scaling up of public transport and active travel infrastructure. And delivering that is proving to be slow. Even rolling out cycle lanes in areas where there's support for it is slow because of some local opposition. Sometimes it's business community acting up. And, you know, you can see that in the debates over the proposed transport plan for Dublin. So even well-ventilated, well-discussed, well-evidenced plans often run into opposition that is slowing things down. But also the local authorities could be prioritising these works because they have particular programmes of infrastructure upgrades, road upgrades and so on. And if active travel projects were prioritised the way they were during COVID, we would see the rollout of cycle lanes and footpaths and improved pedestrian facilities in our urban areas much more rapidly. So it's a question of our political priorities. Is this what we want to do? Do we want to create sustainable transport solutions, or do we want to be mired in traffic forever? The M50 is grinding to a halt every day, and there is no solution for that but to actually get people out of cars onto public transport and get our goods vehicles transferring freight by rail over road. So we know what we have to do. So the question is, are the policies in place and are they going to be implemented fast enough to make a difference, that people can see that there's buses and trains and cycle lanes outside their door available to them as an alternative to the private car. And when it comes to the EVs, we have big plans for rolling out EV charging infrastructure. But until that's in place, people are very nervous about investing in an electric vehicle. And that's understandable. And also the cost of charging on one of these charging hubs, it can be quite prohibitive. So people want to see that this is a technology that's reliable and affordable for them looking into the future, and that they're not wasting their money.
Sive, thank you very much for joining us. Sive O'Neill, Senior Climate Advisor to Friends of the Earth.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.